Okay, so Luke 24, verses 13 to 32. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it's the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us they'd seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going further, but they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening, the day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?'"
That's perfect. Thank you very much. So we join these two disciples, and they're on the road to Emmaus. And one word sums up how they're feeling about life at the moment. Did you see it in verse 17? They stood still, their faces downcast. The Lord Jesus, risen Lord Jesus, joins them, but they think it's just a random person, a random visitor. They don't realise that it's him. And they explain to this apparent random visitor why it is that they feel so downcast. Verse 20. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over. Oh, let me read from verse 19, actually. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied, "he was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place." In other words, they had high hopes for Jesus. They thought maybe he's going to be the one that all the Old Testament had spoken about. But he'd just been crucified. How could he be the great redeemer of Israel if he himself had just died on a cross? So their hopes had been dashed to pieces. And if you're an Englishman, then you know exactly how that feels on regular occasions. But here's the question. Jesus is with them as they're kind of, you know, downcast, really discouraged. What would be the best way for Jesus to sort out their problem and to raise their confidence? Well, surely it would be to say, "Guys, it's me. Can't you see? Here I am. It's all okay. I'm alive again." But Jesus doesn't do that. Instead, he gives them a Bible study. Have a look at verse 25. He said, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses," that's the first 5 books of the Bible, "and all the prophets," that's most of the rest of the Bible, "he explained to them what was said in all the scripture concerning himself." So he gives them a Bible study. Do you see what the aim of that Bible study was? To show them what all the scripture says about himself. To show that he, Jesus, in fact, had been the whole point of the entire Old Testament. And that's why Jesus says in verse 25 that these disciples are foolish and slow to believe. If they'd known their Bibles properly, it was all there for them to see. And so it says in verse 26, did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? In other words, it was all part of the plan, a plan carefully detailed for all to see in the Old Testament. And so Jesus is making quite an extraordinary claim here. He's saying, yes, the Old Testament, in fact, the Old Testament isn't just one book, as we know. It's a collection of 39 smaller books. Those books are written by, say, 25 different authors, most of whom never met, over a time span of 1,000 years, in places up to 500 miles apart. That's what the Old Testament is. And yet Jesus says it's all about him. The whole thing fits together perfectly to point towards him. And when you begin to see that that's the case, well, it's an amazing experience. Do you see how they reacted in verse 32? They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? And this is exactly what we've been trying to get a flavour of this term together. Do you remember I started by showing you a picture of a random chalk path? And I said, can anyone tell me what this is? And Joe Wellbeloved, being a very educated man, said, that's the white horse. And he completely ruined my illustration. The point being that when you zoom out and see the white horse on that hillside from a distance, then you can see perfectly well it's a white horse. And the same is true of the Bible. Often we get bogged down in lots of little details and we fail to see the big picture. And what we've been trying to say is actually when you zoom out on the whole Bible, the big picture you see is Jesus. And those three words, Jesus restores life. That was our three-word summary of the whole Bible. And so we started this term by thinking about the life that God made us for. We went on to think about how we have rejected that life and how God is quite right in judging us and punishing the evil and sin that we have created. Again, pointing us forward to our great need for Jesus. We saw how in the Old Testament God made promises. Do you remember that the funny technical word, covenants, binding himself to save a people for himself? And again, all of that found its fulfillment in Jesus, who fulfilled all of the promises. We saw how God longed to rescue people. And do you remember we thought about Exodus as the people went through the sea and the painted blood of a lamb, pointing forward to Jesus, who would ultimately rescue us, not from slavery, but from our sin. And then these last three sessions have kind of been grouped together as we thought about Old Testament prophets, all of them pointing us forward to Jesus, who reveals God perfectly to us. We thought about Old Testament priests, who point us forward to Jesus, who made the perfect sacrifice for sin. And we thought about Old Testament kings, again, who point us forward to Jesus, who was the promised the Messiah, the great king, raised from the dead as God's eternal king, and who one day will establish his perfect kingdom. So do you see, this term we've been seeing, that this book, just as Jesus says himself here in Luke, is all about him. When you go on holiday, you sometimes get a piece of rock when you go to the seaside, and often that has a bit of writing in it. And the thing about a piece of rock, wherever you break it, the pattern on the inside is exactly the same. The same is true of the Bible. Wherever you break it, you can see Jesus written large. Now, even if we haven't quite followed all of it this term, I hope at least we've been able to see that the whole story of the Bible focuses on Jesus. And just as we finish, I want us to think through three brief reasons why it's important for us as disciples to understand how the Bible all fits around Jesus Christ. And the first is this: it will give us greater confidence in Jesus. Do you remember how those two disciples walking along the road, and they were downcast and discouraged? They were confused. They had no confidence in Jesus. And the thing that Jesus thought would increase their confidence was to see how actually God's plan from eternity past was all about Jesus, written in the Bible. And it's easy to feel discouraged and lacking in confidence ourselves, isn't it? In a world that rejects Jesus, says that being a Christian, that's a kind of binning your brain or whatever else it might be. And therefore, it's important for us to see that, no, we're not just being tricked into something here. No, Jesus is the climax of a whole plan of action that is carefully recorded for us throughout the Old Testament. He wasn't just a good man who was later exaggerated. He wasn't just a nutter who made some crazy claims. He was, in fact, the climax of God's plan to rescue this world. And so seeing how the whole Old Testament points to Jesus gives us greater confidence as Christian believers. Secondly, it'll give us greater understanding of Jesus. Apparently, after the EU referendum, the most searched for term was, what is the EU referendum? Which is quite scary when you think about it. It goes to show, at least, that you can vote for something without really understanding it at all. And I think for us, as Christian believers, we can often kind of vote ourselves in as Christians, but without really understanding what it means to be a Christian or anything much about Jesus. And so we can have quite a superficial understanding of our Christian faith. But what the Old Testament does is it provides us with the vital background information to properly understand Jesus. Actually, without any background information, he's just a man dying on a cross who miraculously comes back to life. We have no idea what it means or what significance that has. But the Old Testament provides us with the background information to understand Jesus. It shows us why our sin is such a big problem. It shows us why it has to be a sacrifice that kind of solves that problem. It helps us to understand the cross. Helps us understand the person of Jesus as our King. It fills in lots of, if you like, it kind of colours Jesus in greater detail for us, so we can have greater understanding of Jesus, not just a superficial faith. But finally, as we finish, it gives us a greater love for Jesus. I don't know if anyone here read all the Harry Potter books. Has anyone read all the Harry Potter books? Okay, quite a few of us. Well, perhaps you've seen the films. Okay, and perhaps you remember Harry Potter is alive because his mother died for him. But for the first 12 years of Harry's life, and in fact for us as readers going through the books, for the first few books, all that he knows is that his parents died in a car crash. But wonderfully, kind of gradually over the series, he understands more and more about his parents, that his mother in fact died bravely at the hand of an evil wizard, that she was in fact protecting him in the process, that his parents actually were on the front line in this amazing kind of battle of good against evil. Now, I'm sure that Harry had a kind of love for his parents before he knew any of that stuff, before he had the full picture. But as his understanding of his parents' sacrifice for him increases, well, so surely does his love for them as he appreciates all that they did for him. And as followers of Jesus, often we have a fairly superficial understanding of all that God has done for us in Jesus, and that leads to quite a weak love for him. And so what I hope has happened over this term is we've begun to see more of God's amazing plans fulfilled in Jesus, and as a result, we can love Jesus more as we understand more about him. One of the reasons that although this is called the discipleship course, I don't really want us to think of it as a course where we just come and have information kind of downloaded, because actually the aim is for our hearts. So as we grow in understanding, we grow in love for Jesus. And as you see Jesus, the theme of the whole Bible, you understand more of what he's done for us, and we can grow to love him more. As it says, look a final time at verse 32 as we finish. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Let me pray, and then I'll explain what we're going to do next. Loving Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for all that we've seen this term of the way that you have fulfilled your great purposes for the world through him. Thank you that he's the great theme and song of the whole Bible. And we pray that we would grow ourselves in understanding of the Lord Jesus, in love for him, and in confidence as your people. And we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.